Welcome to Thursday night service for the Fisherman Ministry in South Carolina. Let's sing some songs and praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Give you all the praise and glory for your righteousness that covers us and your presence, your comfort. Just thank you for who you are, Lord, and what you've done. May your word go forth boldly, your truth, and may we receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Good evening, everybody. So I don't know if you guys listened to any of the Sunday services that came after ours, but on Rick's service, the one thing that stood out to me was Rick said, your attitude can either be one of, do you get to do these things or do you have to do them? And I went, ouch, because too often I find myself in a place of, I have to do this. I have to school my children. I have to wash dishes. I have to wash clothes. I have to. I have to. I have to. Well, really, my attitude is all wrong in that. My ministry is to my children and my husband. And in that ministry, you know, I get to homeschool my children. I get to wash dishes because the Lord has provided food and provision for our family. So that took me to Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. So I looked up murmurings. And part of murmurings is not even an outward murmuring. It's an inward murmuring. Secretly. And that was an even bigger ouch for me because sometimes I don't even complain about having to do these things outwardly. Sometimes somebody says, Hope, do this. And I go, inwardly, I'm thinking, really? Must I? Well, you don't have to, but, you know, the consequences of not doing those things the Lord would have you do can be not only for your detriment, for others as well. So now going forward, I'm going to seek to change the attitude from I have to do these things to I get to do these things. I get to get up here and minister on Thursdays. Not I have to. I get to. I get to minister to my children. I get to minister to my husband. That needs to be my attitude. So, praise God.
So I was practicing today. I was practicing My Chains Are Gone. And in the chorus, My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. That's about the point where I started crying and I couldn't keep singing.
it reminded me of that song. Was actually, that chorus was added to it for a movie called, I believe it's called Amazing Grace, and it's about the end of the slave trade in England. But it made me think of a different movie called Amistad. And I actually went back and I wrote down, because it's in subtitles, I wrote down the part that it brought to mind. If you've ever seen it, if you've never seen it, there, I won't go into the details of it, but what you have are a group of slaves who were kidnapped from their home and brought on a ship. I'm not sure that they even intended to come to America. I can't remember the... I think they might have been being taken to Britain. Something like that. But you have two main leaders in the group of slaves, or men, is really what it was. They weren't the kidnapped folk. One was the spokesperson. One was angry, rebellious, and trying to really rile everyone up. That one, the angry, rebellious one, was given a Bible by a Puritan woman. He obviously didn't know English. He couldn't read. But it had pictures in it. And he kept looking through the Bible and looking at the pictures. He started spending all of his time doing that when they were in court and the attorneys were arguing about whether they were going to have their freedom or not, whether they were going to be convicted of a crime or not. He would sit there and look at the Bible. And the particular scene that came to my mind was when just those two men were awake, and the one was still sitting there looking at the Bible, and the other one says, "You don't have to pretend to be interested in that. Nobody's watching but me." He says, "I'm not pretending. I'm beginning to understand it." So they go. He goes over, and he looks, and he shows them the pictures, and he starts with, in Exodus, "Their people have suffered more than ours. Their lives were full of suffering." And then he flips forward. Then he was born, and everything changed. And the guy said, "Well, who is he?" "I don't know. But everywhere he goes, he's followed by the sun." Because in these pictures, they have the sun glowing to kind of show that the Spirit of the Lord is with him. Here, he's healing people with his hands, protecting them, being given children. He could also walk across the sea. But then something happened. He was captured, accused of some crime. Here he is with his hands tied. And the other guy says he must have done something. Why? What did we do? Whatever it was serious enough to kill him for it. Then he showed him how Jesus was killed. And the one guy says, "Well, this is just a story." He said, "But look, that's not the end of it. His people took his body down from this thing." And he was talking about the cross. "They took him into a cave, wrapped him in a cloth like we do. They thought he was dead, but he appeared before his people again and spoke to them. Then finally, he rose into the sky. This is where the soul goes when you die here. This is where we're going when they kill us. It doesn't look so bad." And just that statement really struck me. Here's a guy who didn't know any English. He couldn't read. Yet, he got that somehow this baby that was born came and made it possible for them to all, if they believed that this was true, for them to all go to this place that they show near the end, this beautiful place that doesn't look so bad. And it makes you think, we don't have it that bad. They didn't even see, he didn't see his suffering as bad as that which the Israelites were under. But he decided he was going to believe in this, and that's where he was going to go. And that's, I mean, we talk about when you decide to serve the Lord, all the things that you need to do, which basically comes down to loving Him and loving everyone. But also we have the thing about we need to submit to our authorities. We have sins that we shouldn't do and that sort of thing. But really it comes down to whether or not that you believe and whether it whether you believe is all it comes down to. Like Scott showed me his little tiny piece of paper this big. He came home from work one day with Steve. I know you've all heard his side of it, but he came home and he said, you know what I learned today? And he put down that tiny little piece of paper. I'm looking, I'm like, I need my glasses. He said, it's a tiny little thing that's so important, and it's believe. Believe in Him. And it makes me think of John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Thing we opened up with about attitudes is a place of some deliberate dwelling for me, because as more of the truth of the gospel gets revealed to me, the more I see how my attitudes are in conflict with what is necessary for someone who is seeking to please the Lord. And I am brought to Romans in Paul's long introduction to them, chapter 1. Starting in 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. I don't know how many of us would ever have an attitude considering ourselves in debt both to the wise and unwise. Most of the time, my attitude has been that everybody besides me is definitely in the category of the unwise. Go figure. However, that's not a particularly godly attitude to be holding. As the testimony of Scripture is over and over again. We're to have this mind that is one of lowliness of mind, not presumption of position or place. It enables you to see those who need to receive the gospel as no different than you. So that you have a personal stake in delivering the gospel to these people. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and his salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that hasn't changed from the Garden of Eden until now. That's the same rules. The setup hasn't changed at all. Abraham believed and was reckoned to him as righteousness. The just shall live by faith. No difference. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means you know the truth, but rather than using that as a point of faith to move forward in that knowledge of the truth, and be able to share it to other people, you prefer to stay in your unrighteous state and not avail yourself of the grace that's inherent in that truth. You know, the Pharisees who knew the truth became about the business of seeing to it that they didn't find out the truth. All these people that are under them, that they were trusting, that were trusting them to be the ones looking out for their souls. They made their mission to keep everybody that was they were looking out for the souls of from finding out about who Jesus Christ was, that they may receive him and be partakers of the inheritance of the truth of the grace of the gospel of our Father. That he is the deliverer of. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is not a verse they like to live with. Everything you need to know about who God is and what he has revealed in everything he has created hold you accountable. It doesn't matter whether you think that's fair or not. That's just the way it is. You can agree with it and do something about it, or you can disagree with it and go to hell. But that's the truth. Because that when they knew God, I'm just talking about the Pharisees, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginings, in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made unto made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Anyone? Some sort of marvelous acquisition of having the Supreme Court rule in favor of gay marriage that I don't quite see in this, perhaps. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Wherefore God also gave them over to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Bingo. That's it. That is exactly the problem we're dealing with here in 21st century America. We worship the creature. We worshiped the lion that got shot in Africa. The babies that Planned Parenthood destroying and selling the baby parts off to. That's not a thing. That's a clump of cells that apparently has a functioning liver and brain and kidneys and other body parts that are sellable on the market, but it's not a baby. So they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It wasn't just confined to the men. Women did it too. I don't need to comment any further, but that is us today. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, turned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's their gospel to minister more rebellion against the word of God, against the knowledge of God. Welcome to our world. In the midst of all this, we have to maintain the attitude of Paul. I am ready. I get the opportunity to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome and are both you that are ready to receive and those who are living in that same rebellion. Listen, that rebellion, that's 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed a lick. It is where we live. It is the natural. We're having to navigate ourselves around and through. And the only thing that is an adequate remedy to that situation is that we be ready, instant, in season and out, to preach the gospel and bring the truth of the word of God forth and hope that they can receive and repent. It isn't about wanting them to get judged and destroyed, although sometimes that spirit of Jonah does sort of want to work in our hearts. It's not. It's about, listen, I was able to receive the grace and mercy of the Lord, and if I can do it, they can do it as well. It's not about being worthy, it's just being willing. That's all it is. If it was about being worthy, we're all toast. But the good news is that you don't have to stay in this state if this state describes the condition that you're in. It isn't hopeless. It's only hopeless if you refuse to receive and stop being in rebellion to the Word. It isn't about how much we hate somebody. It's about how much we desire them to receive the truth. And whether they receive the truth of the gospel that is spoken to them or not, this scripture here says they're accountable nonetheless. I'm not sure they understand that. Well, it's not my job to make them understand that, but I can speak the truth of the Word of God to them and let them have an opportunity to make that decision whether to stay in rebellion or to come to the Lord. And that's not something we have to do, that's something we get to do. Because the Lord is letting us partake of that which He has done for us by being able to share it with other people, that it can be received by them as well. That's the whole reason we're here. That's the whole reason we exist. Until we get the right attitude about it, Nothing's ever going to change. I'm done.
Few points there. And you know what I seen is in the midst of that, you went through a list of things that were just, you could see naturally was something that was rebellion against the Lord. But the things that you really don't see that's naturally rebellious against the Lord are still there. I mean, you can have that person that has, you know, goes to work every day, you know, does his thing every day, he shows up for church all the time, and all these things, and still yet be in complete rebellion against the Lord, and is no different than those people that are just naturally shown right in front of their face. I mean, it's really the case. And, you know, some of these things, these people are going along, and they don't even have a clue that they're in rebellion against the Lord. I mean, they don't even have a clue. They don't know. Do you think they think they're good? Do they think they're holy? They think they're righteous? They go to church, they go to work, and they do their best. They do their best. They're working more on the plus side of the ledger than the negative. And they're just in no different of shape. It doesn't work that way. And what happens is, in the midst of these things, is, and actually you can kind of see it when it starts to happen, as the words that come out their mouth actually judge themselves in these things. Because what ends up happening is they think it's all about what they do that makes them righteous. And see, when it's all about what they do that make they think that, that makes them righteous, what ends up happening is they get this high-minded thing where they look down upon others as then they are some great one. As they are some great one who's got all the answers for them. And as long as they cookie cut themselves and start doing good, then they can be saved. And what they actually are speaking is not truth at all. It's not truth at all. I mean, the only way you're going to make it in is by Him. And by what He has done. If you don't believe and trust in that, you're toast. But you were talking about accountability there, Paul. And it's, I mean, you can sit there and you can easily look at these things and look at the people that do these things, right? And the thing about that is, really, is it's just like, man, how much more are you accountable for the things that you know and yet don't do? The simple commandments that they have, love God, love one another. Are you about preferring yourself and lifting yourself up? Is it all about what you want, what you would have to do? then you're not on his agenda at all. You're on your own and you're no different. But see what love does. And you're talking about where it says love God, love one another. What love does is actually was one of the things that the Lord has did. If you looked at Jesus and how he walked in love. He preferred the Father's will over all. And in doing that, he loved others. And he exposed others and the things that were in their heart that kept them going forward in the Lord. It kept them from going forward in the Lord. And it's one of those things where what tends to happen is you can sit back and you can just assume a bunch of people knows where they're at. And the truth be told, they don't have a clue that they're in a bad place. They have no idea that when they're operating and leaning on their own understanding and they're operating in these things, that they really think they don't have a clue that they're in rebellion. Now, if they don't have a clue that they're in rebellion, who's going to tell them? Who is going to love them enough to tell them that they're actually in rebellion against the Lord? But see, that's what love is. It's just a way to present the thing that's becoming from them receiving the good things of the Lord. Whatever the case may be. It might be that in one scenario, it's telling the Pharisees about whitewashed sepulchres. Whitewashed sepulchres. Hypocrites. Maybe another instance of saying, well, who else condemns you here? No one. Well, neither do I. I mean, because the truth be told, I mean, without Jesus, we're all doomed. Doesn't matter if you fit in this category in chapter 1 or not. Without Jesus, you have no hope. And if you're going to base your salvation on your own good works, it's going to lead you straight to hell. If you're going to base your salvation on any of those things, you're going to go to hell. But see, what it comes down to is when then you're actually shown that thing, when you come across, when you personally come to the cross, to that crossroad, where actually somebody shows you when you're actually in error of walking in your way, what do you do about it? See, you're actually more accountable than the next guy is that doesn't have a clue about Jesus Christ and never has heard of him, never accepted him, has maybe heard of him, but nobody's ever actually declared him that true meaning of the gospel. You are actually more accountable if you turn around and you hear those words and those things are evidently shown before you and you reject them. You're actually worse shaped than that next guy is. I mean, think about that. Because you're accountable for it. If the Lord is absolutely laid out that path for you to take and laid out that crossroad clearly where you can take, where you can choose to do your own thing, go off in pride rebellion, choose to believe what you want to believe that makes you comfortable, or believe what the Word says and what He has for you, and the stepping out in that, and stepping out in faith in those things, and you choose the more comfortable route, that's rebellion against the Lord. It might not even look like it from the outside. Not even look like it from the outside, but in fact it is. How many times have you heard of Davy going up to somebody and some preacher and actually told them the error of their way? And they had the opportunity to turn and repent from the error of their way and go down the way that the Lord's paved them so they can actually walk in victory. But they would not have it. But chose that pride and that iniquity and their own comfortable place. See, it's about when these things get represented to us. I like to look in the mirror. I like to examine myself with these things. Not on look upon the other or the person that has never even heard the gospel before, but actually be prepared to preach them the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that's what you do when you're out there. All you do is preach the gospel. But with one to love with to your brethren, what you do is you actually, when the Lord shows you a thing that is a stumbling block for them, that keeps them going forward in the Lord, you actually are to share those things with them so they can get those things out of the way and go forward in the Lord. And see, it's in that place where are you really willing to love somebody enough to tell them the truth, even though it might make them angry. It might make them never like you again. They might hate you for it. I mean, Stephen told the Pharisees the truth. They stoned him. But his heart was, lay not this sin to their charge. But when it's going out and you preach that to your brothers, you recognize within yourself your need for Jesus Christ. Your absolute need for Jesus Christ. And those things that are presented before you, what have you done with them? Have you gone forward in those things with the knowledge that has been clarified to you to go forward in? Or did you reject those things and step back because they were too scary, too frightening? Instead of trusting and believing the Lord. I just walked in just a little bit on what you were preaching on. One word said believe. See, when you believe the Lord, you're going to go forward in what He's called you to do. When you believe and you trust the Lord in that authority, which is somebody, usually a person, when the Lord shows you something and that person comes up and starts revealing those things, you have a choice to make. You can either choose to believe the Lord and trust God in them and obey and humble yourself inside of the Lord, get shed of those things and go forward in Him. Even if they're wrong, it couldn't be a bad thing for you to check that thing out in you, could it? I mean, if the doctor turned around and told you, hey man, it looks like you have a possible issue of having some kind of infection here. You might want to go and take these antibiotics, take it, because this infection could spread, it could kill you. Boy, are you going to look at that thing, or whatever the case may be, and it might be infection, it might not be infection, but are you still going to go take those pills? Well, yeah, because you don't want the infection if you're smart. Well, not even if you're smart, just you look at it. I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And when you minister these things to your brother, you minister them in love. You do it because you love them. You do it because you want to see them succeed in the Lord. That's why you do it. Not out of judgment. Not out of pride like the Pharisees did. Not like you idiot. No. Hey man, there's an issue. This is keeping you from serving your Lord and receiving all that He has for you. All that He has for you. I mean, see, that's love. And He don't hear you again, the heat might get turned up a little bit. Hey, man. things going even more haywire around that person. Did you not hear me the first time? Is it working out? Well, no. Well, did you do such and such and seek the Lord on these things? Well, no. Well, why do you expect for them to get better? Why do you expect to be more joyful in these things? You're not going to find joy in this thing. It's an affection. It's trying to kill you. And see, that's love. And in receiving that, I mean, that's giving out the truth. And also, you need to be able to receive the truth. I mean, it's this interesting thing. I talk to Steve all the time, and I'm going, Stephen, I'm seeing, you know, da-da-da, and I da-da-da. All right, wait. Let me stop you here. Okay. What did I get? Correction. Well, praise the Lord. So I go further because I got a lot much more news to talk about to him, right? So I start talking about it. Then all of a sudden he's like, wait, let me stop you here. Okay. And then he has a point to actually go, more correction. Well, praise God. I need it. I need all the help I can get. And I need that cleared, I need that paved so I can walk forward in that which the Lord has. But folks, we got to get to the place where we recognize, man, we need Jesus. Okay, every single one of us need Jesus. Those that are outside of the body need Jesus. Those that are within the body need Jesus. And that's what we got to grab hold on. You're not even better than the next person. If the other person's doing something that you're not doing, it's because they don't even know much better. They don't know any better. They don't even have a clue that they're even in error. So what are you going to do? You're going to sit back and judge that person for being in error, or are you going to go and love that person and tell the truth and give them an opportunity to see it and repent from it and turn from it? See, a lot of times what happens is, and with churches, they go, they start that judgment and say, don't they even know that they're in error? They might not even be in error in any case. Might be showing you something within yourself. And they say, oh man, aren't they in error? Look at that. Can you believe that? Man, what a prideful, just stubborn son of a gun. But you won't even lift up a word or a voice to go tell them why they're in error. I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, they don't even have a clue that it's there. They don't even have a clue that it's there. So it's coming to that place, folks. Well, what was Jesus' commandment? Love God and love one another. So when you love God, you put Him first above all things. And no matter what correction comes your way, now, no matter what direction He shows you, by any means He shows you, comes your way, you're going to do it because you love them, you trust them, you believe them, you trust them for your own salvation. And if you love your brother as the Lord loves him, You're going to be about showing them more about the Lord in His ways. And see, in the midst of that, you can have compassion on your brother. Because you recognize within yourself you're just as deprived. Or that you had to cross the same road. You had to cross the same threshold. It might have looked different, but it's the same thing. You know, people's situations may be unique, but the same problem is sin and unbelief. It's common across mankind. You want to start seeing a change in your life? You want to start seeing a change at home? You want to start seeing a change in your workplace? Within your family? Among the congregation? Start loving God. Start loving one another and see what happens. And what you're going to do when you start preferring the Lord and you start diligently seeking after His way and not your own, to seek to be justified, but His way, even though the truth testifies against yourself, there's going to be a big change. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a big light on the way you have done things for years that you thought was absolutely right. You're going to realize all of a sudden that it was wrong. And how you've been going about doing things was wrong. I remember I was telling Scott I handled a situation at work differently. And I mean, it was a, praise the Lord, it was an opportunity to minister Jesus. And it was like a flashcard of all the things that I thought I handled right was absolutely wrong. Oh my God, could you believe it? Now see, this wasn't news to Jesus. I mean, He covered me in the midst of these things, but it was sure heck news to me. I was absolutely astonished. Oh my goodness. Lord, I thought that was right. Nope. Wrong. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And see, what happens is when we start dealing with people, we start dealing from people with it. We get frustrated. We get angry with people. We start dealing with them all of a sudden that they should have known better. And the whole time they're like, I had no idea. They had no idea. Oh, you didn't? Oh, no, I never even saw it on that fashion. Oh, you haven't? So with knowledge, you weren't going about doing? No, I just was going about doing my own thing. I had no idea that I was actually going the wrong way. Oh. Okay. And it's the same thing with us. When we start realizing when we were dealing with stuff the wrong freaking way, we're going, oh my goodness, I didn't know I was dealing with that, just the absolute wrong way. It was kind of funny. I wish Brad was here. I was picking on him. He was telling Charlie, I think he was telling a story about Charlie, saying, well, yeah, Brad, you're a self-righteous prick, man. And he's like, really? I didn't know that. And you know, and Charlie's like, yeah, Brad, everybody knows that. I mean, it was like knocked him off his feet, man. He was like, no way. But it goes the same for all of us. But see, if we want that change, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how the truth is given to us, what way it comes to us. Whatever form it comes, we're going to receive it with gladness because we want to serve the Lord and we believe and we trust that He is good. That He is good. And when you love your brother, your whole thing is about for them growing. I think here of lately I've prayed for you guys more than I ever have. That's a praise the Lord. It just goes to show me the Lord is working on my selfish heart. And He's changing it, and He can. But I got to allow Him to. And I'm finally starting to allow him to. Are you going to allow the Lord to do that work in your heart? You need to humble yourself. Receive that correction. Receive His word. Receive His truth. Start loving somebody as you would want to be loved. Not with the fleshly love, with the agape love. I am grateful for Steve. I am grateful for David. Because they're there to share, to tell me the truth. And to show me a better way at every turn. And they don't withhold that back from me. And I know they want me to grow in the Lord. We need to have that same type of love for one another. And man, if we can't do that for one another, what makes you think you can really love those that are outside the body? I mean, really, not going to happen. You'll never be able to tell somebody the gospel because you're too wrapped up in yourself. You can't even love your own brother. But we need to get those fundamentals down. Amen.